presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We had an absolutely incredible night last night at the Marlowe's Tavern in Buford. For those of you that came, thank you so much for coming. And I will say that I really came to a realization about something last night in talking to the Georgia fans who were on hand there. I always enjoy these moments to have the face-to-face interaction. As much as I love the back and forth on Twitter, and we'll have some more of that on today's show, and as much as I love the comment section live during our program for the people who get a chance to watch us on video, it's that face-to-face interaction where I get a chance to really find out what people truly think. And I came away with a pretty strong takeaway about what people seem to think right now about Georgia football. I'm going to get into that coming up in a couple of minutes when Mike Griffith joins us on the program here today. So I hope you'll stick with us for that. And we're glad to have you with us on the program, Dog Nation Daily. Let me begin with this, though. I thought it was really interesting to look the other day at ESPN.com and see that Georgia's arguably top signee, one of the guys that's already gotten a lot of attention from Georgia, the five-star defensive end Nolan Smith, is also earning some attention from ESPN, too. One of the series that they do online at ESPN.com, which I really enjoy during the offseason, is the sort of storylines to watch for what they call their way too early top 25. Now, as we've said before, around here, we're just really big fans of way too early top 25s, and for us, the upcoming preview of the next college football season can't start soon enough, and the fact we are in early January and that's already started, for us, that's really good news around Dog Nation Daily. And the other day at ESPN.com, they listed, hey, here is the most important recruit for each way too early top 25 team. And I thought there was some kind of interesting stuff in there, but in particular as it relates to Georgia, I thought this was particularly interesting that Nolan Smith got the nod, according to Tom Van Haren, the writer. And if you're watching on video, I'll let you see the words. If you're listening, of course, I'll read it to you. Van Haren writes, the defensive lineman Jonathan Ledbetter and Jay Hayes are both gone in 2019. So Smith should have an opportunity to contribute early. This is Nolan Smith, of course. Smith is the number two overall prospect in the 2019 class and a versatile enough player to explode off the edge or drop back in coverage. Landing him was a huge deal for the Georgia defense. It's a two-for-one win, as nabbing him kept him from joining Alabama's defense. Now, it's what Van Haren says at the end there that may be the most interesting of all of that. Yes, Nolan Smith is a versatile guy. Jeff has told you that he was running defensive back drills at the All-American Bowl, not because he is a defensive back, just because he's got that kind of speed to go along with the size. He is, in a lot of ways, that total package. And as Van Haren writes at ESPN, college football recruiting is a bit of a zero-sum game. Not only is it good to have Smith, it's also really good to keep Smith from being on a roster that you may have to play in an SEC championship game or in a regular season game in years ahead. Getting Smith was a really big deal. And having watched Smith grow and develop over the years and the coverage that Jeff Sintel has provided of him going back, really, he's been famous around Dog Nation parts since, you know, he was a sophomore in high school or so. The one thing I think I can say with some confidence when it comes to Nolan Smith is that he is really capable of handling this level of hype. This is a young man, just to be very frank, is pretty comfortable being a celebrity. You know, Jeff Sintel, and you can go to DogNation.com and see a video interview that Jeff did with Nolan Smith. And Jeff will tell you that before the interview took place, you know, Nolan Smith is signing a lot of autographs for the people on hand there in the Alamo Bowl, you know, after that All-American Bowl was over with. Alamo Dome, I should say. So, you know, this is a guy that's already pretty comfortable being famous, pretty comfortable getting attention from outlets like ESPN. So this won't be, I'm assuming, too much too soon for Smith, just because he's really used to having that kind of stuff going on there, which if you're a Georgia fan, you feel really good about. It's also interesting to think about Nolan Smith as a high-profile impact freshman here in his first year on campus at Georgia, because there could be a lot of those on the defensive side of the ball in the SEC this year. Georgia won't play all of them in the regular season necessarily, but in terms of guys who step in and make that big-time impact, it's going to be a pretty interesting comparison with Smith and some of these other guys. Antonio Alfano, he was also mentioned in the ESPN piece, the good-looking defensive lineman for Alabama. That's a guy who could make a big impact. Derek Stingley, the defensive back for LSU, that's a freshman that could make a big impact here. These are high-profile recruits, kind of a similar pedigree to Nolan Smith, and Smith will be compared to these guys a lot. And for Georgia fans, you know, when you saw the Van Haren description of all the things that he could do, you know, explode off the edge, drop back in coverage, you know, a versatile play that can be used in a lot of ways. For Georgia fans, though, when they think about bringing in a guy like Nolan Smith as a part of this 2019 defense, there's really one job that fans sort of see primarily above all the others in terms of what they want from Nolan Smith. They want him to be a pass rusher. Many Georgia fans believe, I've been told this explicitly, that Georgia has not gotten enough sacks over the last couple of years. Good defensively, no doubt, but not doing that thing as well as it could, getting after the quarterback. And the good news on this front is the player that ESPN calls Georgia's most important recruit, one of the top players in the entire country regardless of position, Nolan Smith's attitude on this would appear to be the same as Georgia fans. Dog fans want to see Nolan Smith sack the quarterback, and Nolan Smith wants the same thing from his college career, and he wants that to begin right away. Here is what Nolan Smith recently told Jeff Sintel on that subject.
I want to rush the passer, and I really feel good rushing the passer. I got 2 sacks today in the first quarter before they start chipping me in, and I just feel like that's something I'm made to do, and I love rushing the passer, sacking the quarterback. Now, I can play inside linebacker if they need me to play, but that's not what I'm going there for.
Did you catch that line there in the middle? You know, that's what I think I was meant to do. He almost feels like he was born, built to rush the passer, got a couple of sacks, as he said, in the All-American Bowl in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago, and coming to Georgia to do that job. Yes, he could play inside linebacker, or he could play probably a number of positions, do a lot of things. He's, according to the recruiting service, actually listed as a defensive end, probably more of an outside linebacker at Georgia. But no matter what versatile things he's capable of doing, it's really rushing the passer that he wants to do most, which coincidentally is also what Georgia fans want from him most as well. And the good news on this is that's exactly the way that Kirby Smart sees him too. In fact, when Kirby Smart looks in on Smith and another guy, Jermaine Johnson, the junior college transfer that Georgia's bringing him for the class of 2019, Kirby is very pleased with what that tandem might be able to do when it comes to rushing the passer. Here's what Kirby said back on December's version of signing day.
We certainly feel like we dropped off in our speed on the edge from the Lorenzos and Davins and Leonard Floyds of the years to be able to get Jermaine and Nolan. You know, I don't know that there's two better pass rushers in a signing class anywhere in the country when it comes to speed. Jermaine can run. Nolan can run. And these guys have got to help us disrupt quarterbacks, you know, which we struggle with this year.
So the overall takeaway from me on all of this is I think this is all really good news. ESPN is noticing a guy that's sort of comfortable being noticed. Nolan Smith won't shy away from being in the spotlight. He wants to live up to that expectation at Georgia. And he understands and believes the best way for him to do that is not by necessarily being some sort of Swiss Army knife style defender, but actually getting at the quarterback, wreaking havoc in the backfield, and just really becoming a nightmare for opposing offenses to deal with. And most importantly, Kirby Smart also believes that is a possibility very much in play for Smith in his UGA career. We may see that as soon as his freshman season. But just because all of that's true does not necessarily mean that Nolan Smith is Georgia's most important recruit for the class of 2019. Who is that? Well, I'm going to tell you about it coming up. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you. Thank you for being with us live here on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed. We're also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And by the way, had a chance to be with the guys there, Sam and Dave, there in the morning here today on 960 The Ref. I always love and enjoy that opportunity and really appreciate them making me a part of their morning show. And of course, every single day at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. That's always a lot of fun for me. And then in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We're just really glad to have you with us here today on the program. As I mentioned off the top of the show, what a great night it was last night at the Marlowe's Tavern in Buford. You know, talk about, you know, hospitality from the folks there in Marlowe's, but also a great collection of Georgia fans on hand. Just so much fun to relax on a Tuesday night, kick back, enjoy some good food, and just talk a little UGA football. That was a great, great thing to be a part of, and we really appreciate those of you who had a chance to do that. I know many of you were on Twitter last night saying, B.A., I can't be in Buford, but I'd love for you to come to Marlowe's in my neck of the woods sometime soon, right there in your neighborhood. Well, the good news is, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're actually going to be at a Marlowe's location that we've never been at before. Our very first time coming into Cobb County, we're going to be at the Marlowe's in Kennesaw. Let me get this to you on the screen so you can see this. I think this is really exciting news. 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, January 29th, we're going to be at that Marlowe's there. It's 745 Chastain Road in Kennesaw. Our first time being at the Marlowe's Tavern in Kennesaw. What an exciting time that's going to be with you Tuesday, January 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's our countdown to signing day event. We're getting ready for the old school official national signing day in February. Really good stuff from Jeff Sintel that night. So if you can be anywhere near Cobb County on January the 29th, we would love to have you come out and join us there at the Marlowe's Tavern in Kennesaw. That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, let me go around the doghouse here. And I told you, Nolan Smith is really good for Georgia. I think a big-time impact player as a freshman. But I'm not quite so sure he's Georgia's most important signee for 2019. And I want to explain why as a part of Around the Doghouse here on this Wednesday presented by our friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. So let's go around the doghouse here presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And let me tell the story a certain way. You know, last night at Marlowe's, one of the things that we got into a lot is, you know, kind of what's going on with Georgia at the wide receiver position. And the point that I cannot deny right now is that I believe that Georgia's wide receiver recruitment needs to improve. I feel like that, you know, obviously it's great the guys that Georgia has signed, but there are more wide receivers that Georgia could have signed and didn't. I even made the point yesterday of, hey, you've got DeAndre Swift and you've got Jake Fromm, who both could be Heisman candidates for 2019, that it would be better for Georgia if Fromm emerges as the Heisman candidate because of the reverberations it could have for recruiting. Georgia's already known as running back university. I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon, but Georgia could do more to kind of rebrand itself with wide receivers as a place that you can come. You can get yourself 900 or 1,000 yards receiving. You can go on to become a first-round draft pick in the NFL. That's an important branding that I think that Georgia needs to do, and a big-time season for Jake Fromm would help that happen. I talked more about that last night, and maybe what's going on or not going on, maybe better said, when it comes to George Pickens, a receiver that's out there and available for the class of 2019. But thus far, it just doesn't seem like Georgia's making a lot of noise with, you know, doing a whole lot to kind of really, you know, get itself in there on that conversation with the current Auburn committed guy that's also strongly considered LSU. Well, in the midst of saying all of that, there is a little bit of criticism, a little bit of pushback that I'm starting to hear. And I want to give you one example from Twitter on this as we go around the doghouse presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. An example from one tweeter or Twitterer, however you want to say that, that I think sort of summarized what a lot of people have been saying to me as of late when I've been talking about what Georgia hasn't done with wide receivers. Can I show you this tweet? It comes from our buddy Arlen Block, who says, Dog Nation Daily. That's essentially me, BA. He says, we got to start showing some dog love to Dominic Blaylock and Demetrius Robertson. He says, hashtag Marlowe's countdown to signing day. So that's an example of something we were talking about last night. And he says, you know, listen, B.A., when you talk about this stuff, you're not giving enough love to a Demetrius Robertson. You're not getting enough love to the 2019 signee at wide receiver, the five-star Dominic Blaylock. And maybe that's true. Now, it remains to be seen with what's going to happen with Demetrius Robertson. That's probably a topic and a conversation for another day. But when it comes to the situation with Dominic Blaylock, it could be that here on Dog Nation Daily over the last couple of months, we just haven't been giving him enough credit. We haven't been giving him enough attention as the receiver who may actually change the game for UGA and sort of change the way that receivers are perceived at Georgia. He may come in and do for Georgia what Justin Ross did for Clemson 2018 or what Jerry Jeudy as a freshman did for Alabama in 2017. A lot of really good freshmen they had back in that 2017 team. But, you know, Dominic Blaylock may be that version of that for UGA. The one thing that is undeniable, though, is there is a pretty clear reason why guys like Arlen tweet what he tweets and other people have said what they've said in the comment section. Dominic Blaylock is very popular in Georgia for two reasons. First of all, he is a good player. The video footage we've shown you over the last few months certainly indicates that. But even beyond that, this seems to be the kind of player that Georgia fans want to rally around. And I believe that's one of the reasons why, in actual fashion, it's actually Blaylock who may be Georgia's most important recruit, with all apologies to a guy like Nolan Smith who's going to get that attention from other outlets, because Blaylock says the kinds of things that Georgia fans want to hear their recruits saying. In fact, when Blaylock joined us here on Dog Nation back in December on signing day, the thing that's probably the most, I think, popular about him, people like about him the most, was his steadfast dedication to UGA. And Blaylock, when he joined me for an interview, explained that in a very articulate fashion. Here is Blaylock saying some things that make him a very popular figure with UGA fans.
The first time I went to go see Georgia, it was a great environment there, and I knew that that spot was the spot I wanted to be at for the rest of my 4 years there. And I'm going to do what my brothers did, just take one visit to one school and make a decision and stay dedicated to that decision, too.
I wanted to go to one school. I wanted to make a decision. And once I made that decision, I wanted to stay dedicated to that school. And for a lot of people who are watching or listening right now, they're throwing up their hands and saying, B.A., I don't care who Georgia didn't get. That's the guy I want. That's the kind of language that I want to hear recruits using. That level of dedication can serve as a motivation to go out and be the best player you can be. And for all I know, Georgia fans may turn out to be all right about that. The Blaylock was the right receiver all along in Georgia's issue for a game-changing, game-breaking receiver. Maybe that guy is already in the fold. I certainly think Georgia needs one. Maybe Blaylock might be that guy, but it's got to be more than just the sort of intangible qualities. You got to have the tangible part of that as well. And Blaylock was good enough to talk to us as well when he joined us a couple of weeks ago about what kind of player UGA fans are going to see in Sanford Stadium once he arrives on campus. Here's more from Dominic Blaylock.
Getting a good player on and off the field, a quick player that's quick on the field and everywhere else, and just a player that's worked hard.
So let me sum all of this up. I do believe that Georgia's most important recruit for 2019 is Dominic Blaylock. Not because he's the best overall prospect. The fact is, a guy like Nolan Smith, it's very hard to be a better prospect than he is. The reason why I'm going to say Blaylock is because Georgia needs that receiver to really explode onto the scene, become the kind of guy that could one day be a first-round draft pick. That's one of the things that led Clemson to a national championship. And if Georgia gets over that hump in 2019, I think a receiver could also be the reason why. And Blaylock, on this entire roster, may be the best candidate to do just that. Around the Doghouse is presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know what they do. Foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space encapsulation. They also offer a lifetime of support. So if you've got a cracked foundation or a wet basement or a damp crawl space, you're going to want to have one of their professional technicians come out to your home and check out what you got going on and get you in a better situation. You can call them right now by giving them a call at 678-ESOG now. It's 678-ESOG now. They are the only foundation repair company the Dog Nation would trust because they're the only ones that have a full-time engineer right there on staff. So give them a call, 678-ESOG now. Great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily. There's a big issue facing Georgia right now. Let's find out on the latest about that as we welcome in Mike Griffith to the program.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insight.
Say hello to Mike Griffith here on Dog Nation Daily today, getting up to spend some time with us, and we certainly appreciate that. And Mike, I was saying on the program before you joined us that, you know, when you're face-to-face with a lot of Georgia fans, we had a chance to do that last night at the Marlowe's Tavern in Buford, you really get a sense for how Dog Nation feels about a particular subject. And last night, we had a great crowd, very spirited, super nice people, wonderful conversation. But there is definitely a little anxiety in the air right now. But the fact, I'm talking about from fans, but the fact that Georgia hasn't yet hired its defensive backs coach, hasn't yet named its defensive coordinator, this is starting to creep on for a while. I'll speak personally for myself, Mike, as a fan, and say I wasn't probably too worried about this until this week. It didn't seem like that big of a deal to me, and now it kind of does. And for a lot of fans last night, that was really the only thing they wanted to talk about whatsoever. Is it starting to become a problem that Georgia doesn't have its defensive coaching staff fully in place?
I don't think so. I really don't, Brandon. I think that, you know, I think patience is important. And, you know, and I think that Kirby Smart has a vision of what he wants Georgia football to be. And I don't think that vision has changed or wavered. And why make a quick decision when you don't have to? I mean, let's be honest. Spring football doesn't start for a while. It certainly doesn't appear to have hurt recruiting. I mean, they were able to land one of the top defensive backs in the country without the DB coach, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't see where it's counterproductive to where Kirby's taken the program. I think Kirby's – I would think that Kirby has earned the trust of the Georgia fans by now. Maybe it's not convenient. Everybody wants to go to sleep at night and know that the dynasty is still rolling downhill, but that's not reality. That's not how it works. And, you know, the wise man is the one who lets things play out. I mean, I look over at Alabama staff, and I would tell you I think that they probably have more pressing issues than Georgia. And yet and still, I'll bet you most people, and myself included, would place the bet that Alabama and Georgia will meet in the SEC championship game next year.
So let me deal with a couple things you said there. Let me start with the recruiting part of this. If you and me and Jeff Centel were all sitting around having a conversation, Mike, here's what I believe that Jeff would say. You referenced the commitment and the eventual signing of Tyreek Stevenson, the four-star defensive back, and that was certainly a major coup for Georgia. And you're right, Mike. We've played audio on this show a couple of times of Stevenson saying that the absence of a defensive coordinator wasn't that big of a deal for him because of the fact that Georgia kind of kept him in the loop about where all that process stood. He didn't feel he was left in the dark, even though the defensive staff wasn't fully in place. But, Mike, if Jeff were here, what I believe he would also say is that Stevenson's relationship with Georgia actually extended back so long. Even if he wasn't committed, he was close to committing before. This was a guy who liked Georgia for a long time. So maybe it was, for lack of a better way of saying it, a little easier to win with Stevenson because of a long-standing relationship that was already in place. But when you look at a guy who's expected to come visit this weekend, Kyrie Lam, another really good defensive back, that is not a guy who has the same level of long-standing relationship. Elam has liked Georgia for a while, but he is clearly shopping things in the open market. Visited Florida last week. Charlton Warren's going to, as you've reported, is going to remain in place there at Florida. Georgia, by comparison, has got a little more unsettled stuff. And so, Mike, if Jeff were here, what I believe he would say is, yes, Georgia won with Stevenson without a defensive backs coach in place, but it may be very hard to do that with the next recruit on the board, a guy like Kyrie Lam.
Yeah, maybe, but I think what we're seeing more and more, and I think Jeff would agree with this too, is players are learning you got to commit to schools and not coaches, and certainly that was on display with Jaden Hazelwood, and you know, regardless of the accuracy or some of the thoughts and how his comments were made out, what that basically boiled down to was a concept that Jim Chaney had ingrained in him, and when Jim Chaney left, Hazelwood expressed that he felt some level of betrayal because how could a coach sell him on a concept and then the coach not be there? Well, we see this more and more, Brandon, and players are becoming a lot more savvy. I know when I went up and spoke with Dwan Mathis, and he talked about how Ohio State was in constant denial that they were talking to Justin Fields, that there was any possibility that he could come to Ohio State. They constantly told him that wasn't happening. And yet, still, he relied on social media, he investigated the situation, and he placed his trust in Georgia that actually Justin Fields had been in contact with Ohio State and there was a possibility. So kids, they're getting more sophisticated now, and I think they're realizing that you sign on with a program. And right now, as far as programs and stability go, I would have a hard time finding another program, including Alabama, because of Nick Saban's age. And look, I'm not saying he's leaving next year, and I'm not saying he can't still play pickup basketball, but there's a reality to a 67-year-old coach versus a 43-year-old coach whose alma mater is where he's at right now. Georgia presents the most stable coaching situation in the country. And I would also say that Georgia presents the best secondary production. If you take a look at what they did against Alabama, even before Clemson played Tua on the bad surgically repaired ankle, Georgia had to deal with a different Alabama than Clemson did in many respects. I think that secondary that Georgia had was the best in the country, and while Mel Tucker was a part of it, so was Kirby Smart. And Kirby Smart's still here, and Kirby Smart's still going to coach the secondary, and he's still going to be in the defensive backs room. And that's why it's so important that whoever he hires has to be the right hire. It's better to take your time and get the guy that fits the vision than hurry up just to relieve the fears of two or three, I don't know, recruits maybe. This is a big picture hire. We're talking about a hire that could stay in place at Georgia 3, 5, 7 years, another piece of the puzzle. And as you and I recognize from the past two seasons, there's not much margin for error when you're competing to win national titles. And that's where Georgia's at right now. They're not just there to win the East. That's an assumption. Georgia's here to win a national title. And that's why Kirby needs to be thorough and make sure he makes the right hire.
I think it's a really interesting point. Let me take you on the roller coaster ride that Georgia fans went on over the weekend, though, because I was right there with them on that. Corey Raymond from LSU is a guy that would get dog fans really excited because of his, you know, you know, his expertise with it when it comes to defensive backs, his relationships with recruits, that would be viewed for the most part as a home run hire. So, Mike, it becomes public that Georgia's talking to him. You can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but then it becomes public that Georgia somehow doesn't offer him a job, and then you got the New Orleans Times Picayune, Baton Rouge Advocate, outlets like that saying that Raymond's going to stay at LSU. Maybe the door's not completely closed on that as of yet, but it sort of becomes public and then seemingly fizzles into nothing. You're a guy that's been around the block a few times. Is that an example of Georgia mishandling a situation if a name like that's introduced into the fray only to be sort of diminished and disqualified a day or so later?
No, not at all. That's Kirby Smart being thorough. And, you know, you go to LSU and you look at the success that they've had with the defensive backs and the number of them in the NFL, and you're absolutely going to take a look at a guy and bring a guy in. And maybe feel him out and see if, you know, how has he done it? What's his coaching? Well, you know, in the meantime, I've talked to another coach. He's been at LSU and told me that, Raymond is a good accruer of talent, but from a developmental standpoint, maybe not as much as you might think. You know, he's a guy who's able to get him in there, but from an X's and O's standpoint, maybe not at the top of the list. Now, I don't know. I'm just sharing with you what I learned the other day. I didn't feel like that was worth the story. I was just trying to dig a little deeper and find out more about Corey Raymond. I said, look, yeah, this guy can recruit. He knows Louisiana. But, getting that Louisiana kids to stay in state's a little different than maybe recruiting nationally to Georgia. And Kirby's set the bar high. Look, Mel Tucker was an incredibly accomplished defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach. I mean, we're talking about somebody who spent 10 years in the NFL, in addition to his time with Saban, in addition to his time with Jim Tressel, in addition to his time with Mark D'Antonio. I just don't know if there was a more accomplished defensive coordinator in the nation than Mel Tucker. So the bar is set very high. And Kirby Smart has shown us through his recruiting, through his management of games, player personnel, and right now what he's trying to do with Georgia facilities, we've seen Kirby's not a guy that's going to settle. This is not a guy that's, okay is not okay. And I think that's what this keeps getting back to. So if anything, I feel like Georgia fans should be reassured by the fact that Kirby Smart isn't just going out there and grabbing a name and throwing it against the wall. Oh, well, this guy's supposed to be good. Let's hire him and figure out how it works later. No, this is a thorough process. And this involves the entire defensive staff, not just Kirby Smart. And we've seen it time and time again, Brandon, in many different places. I'm going to give you a great example. I would argue that Bruce Arians is one of the finest NFL coaches in the last two or three years. I think most people would agree with. In fact, I think he won NFL Coach of the Year, if I'm not mistaken, right? In 1997, I covered a football team that had Bruce Arians as the offensive coordinator, Jeremy Pruitt as a graduate assistant, and Dabo Sweeney as a receivers coach. That team went 4-7.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians was fired after 1 year. So fit is a very important part of the equation when you're dealing with coaching.
So let me play devil's advocate just for a moment, because what you're saying is, and listen, I think our audience hopes what you're saying is true. I'm just trying to flesh out the conversation more. So you're saying that, hey, this is a deliberate process. Kirby's going to make sure he gets his guy. And if the final page of this book is, and lo and behold, Georgia hired a guy like, say, Derek Ansley, who's been with the Oakland Raiders and as a guy that's respected as a terrific recruiter back with his time when he was working in college football. If that's where all of this goes, then for a lot of Georgia fans, that's going to be time well spent and a happy ending to a story that had some bumps and bruises along the way. But after some initial sort of attention for a guy like Ansley, I know you've written about this at DogNation.com. Boy, we haven't heard much about that particular name in a while, nor have we heard, about anybody else of the sort of same caliber, that is. So for the description you provided to be true, it almost seems like it's got to eventually be a guy like Ansley, or otherwise this sort of looks like, something less than a fully organized and, completely deliberate process.
Not necessarily. You would say that. You would say that on the surface. And certainly there is something to be said about winning the press conference, right? But when Georgia hired Kirby Smart, he hadn't been a head coach before. I don't know if everybody thought that was going to work. I mean, Kirby was certainly an accomplished assistant, but at the time, I certainly will admit I was skeptical. And even after year one, I said, well, maybe Kirby Smart's not the guy. But Kirby Smart, lo and behold, has shown us in these past two seasons. I mean, look, the National Georgia was the best team in college football two seasons ago. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. One, two, or throw doesn't change that in my mind. I told you that all year. You and I visited almost weekly that year, and I told you from the beginning that this Georgia football team is the best in college football. They were. Last year's team didn't belong in the top 10. Somehow or another, those guys got better. Somehow or another, a mediocre front seven was playing adequate run defense on Alabama, and an offensive line filled with freshmen and sophomores was controlling the Alabama defensive front. That happened right before our eyes, folks. We watched Georgia football blossom under Kirby Smart. Last year was a test. To see them be able to follow up that championship team caliber season, that runner-up national champion team, with this year's team, which had no business being on the verge of, if you looked at the beginning of the year, that front seven wasn't that good. There were a lot of questions. Jake Brown had to find a new go-to receiver. He was awful on third down through the first half of the season. You'll remember I documented that. But then after the LSU game, something changed, right? And Kirby saw something. That's why James Coley got the promotion. James Coley made Jake Fromm better. That's why it only took 3 days. And I think that was kind of in place. I think Kirby had set Coley up to get that. Because people say, well, Mike, what's the difference? Why so fast on the OC but not the DC? Well, because I think the next OC was already in place. And I think Coley proved himself, sure, not just on the recruiting trail, because the evidence there is undeniable. All you got to do is look at all the players from South Florida that James Coley's recruited, and you go, oh, my goodness, what a bountiful crop of players. But then you look at what he did with Jake Fromm, number five in the nation in passing efficiency, his growth, and throw the Sugar Bowl away. But James Coley was certainly the guy. Now, the defensive coordinator job, I think this is a more sensitive hire because of how close Kirby's going to work with this coordinator. And I think Kirby, like I said, he set the bar high. Now, Derek Ansley, he certainly would seem to check all the boxes, B.A., but you never know. There may be somebody else out there, right? Maybe he doesn't have a five-star coach's ranking. But let's remember DeAndre Baker was a three-star, and Kirby Smart was able to evaluate. Mark Richt was able to evaluate that and bring that guy in here, and Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker were able to develop this guy. So on the front end, I would agree, you would think this would mean another big name, or it would have to be a big name to make this process worthwhile, but I don't necessarily agree. And as for the bumps and bruises, no games have been played. And to my knowledge, no recruits have been lost. Mm-hmm. So other than leaving some people with a little fear of the unknown and maybe a little anxiety in the fan base, I don't think Kirby Smart's waking up with an extra concern any day. I think Kirby has a vision and an idea of exactly what he wants to do, and he's going to play this thing out.
Let me do one quick final one on this subject. And, you know, Mike, I think the assumption among many is that eventually the defensive coordinator may be a guy promoted from someone currently on the Georgia staff. Maybe Dan Lanning, who was in that role seemingly for the Sugar Bowl. I guess there's a possibility it could be Glenn Schumann. Lanning seems to be the in-house favorite. And that the new hire is going to be a defensive backs coach hire. For a guy like Raymond, who is experienced, a guy like Ansley, who is experienced, is there a danger here that it's presumptuous on the part of George and Kirby Smart to think guys like this who have some experience are looking to be upwardly mobile, they would make the somewhat, in Raymond's case, lateral move, and Ansley's case, it almost looks like a step down to go from the NFL to college. Is it presumptuous to assume that you can attract them no matter how much money you're offering if the only title you're giving them is defensive backs coach?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not privy to knowing if Kirby Smart has already decided if Lanning or Schumann is going to be the defensive coordinator, and if these conversations with these other coaches involve them coming in as merely a secondary coach. You know, from my experience with Kirby and what I've noticed this year, he takes he looks at things in their entirety before he makes a decision. He's not necessarily a step-by-step guy. I feel like Kirby sees the big picture and works backwards from there. And so I think when he makes any decision on a coach, I think it has a lot to do with the fit of the staff, the chemistry of the staff. I mean, look, what Nick Saban's done is impressive, winning with different coaches every year. But that's not ideal. I think what Clemson does and what I saw Tennessee do during their strongest years, even Spurrier to some extent, I think you want to have continuity. I think that's the ideal situation. Now, when you win games and you're a national championship contender annually, as Georgia has become, you are going to lose coaches because other staffs are going to say, hey, I want to bring a guy in here that worked in that Kirby Smart Georgia system, and I want to see how he did it. I mean, certainly Colorado is counting on Mel Tucker to bring some of the formulas that he's learned from Tressel, Saban, and Smart, and then, put his touches or his improvements on it. So I wouldn't necessarily read too deeply into that. Again, I would just say this. If you like the vision that you've seen Kirby Smart put out there, when we're talking about how the team plays, the focus, the direction that Georgia football is heading, in terms of its one-loss totals, in terms of its facilities, in terms of what the program, the essence of the program is, okay, it all goes together. His way of coaching, his way of searching for a coach, BA, comes along with his way of recruiting, comes along with his way of facility concepts, comes along with his way of focus and style of play. It's all one package. It's the Kirby Smart package. You can't have one without the other. And right now, Coach Smart is showing us that he's going to be thorough and he's going to be patient. And that's just a part of who he is and the direction that he's going.
Mike, I've kept you long, and I apologize for that. Let me squeeze in something really quickly before we let you go. I know you were in Stegman Coliseum last night. Georgia loses to Kentucky. Ashton Hagans, the one-time Georgia commit, looking really good for the Wildcats. Crowd seemed great. Certainly a lot of intensity around the game. The program, though, still seems to me like a long way away from competing. How patient are Georgia fans going to have to be to see a team that could go toe-to-toe in a game like that against a ranked opponent?
Well, I'm going to play semantics with you just a little bit here. And I think, they are competing. They're just not good enough. That team last night competed in the first half. It was 35-31 at halftime, and Georgia was 2-13 beyond the three-point stripe. They're showing up at Tom Crean practices, and they're going hard, and Crean's got a system out there that's different than any other team in the league. He's spacing the floor. Nicholas Claxton, of himself, is worth the price of admission. They've got an NBA guy in the making right now. You can see him. You can watch him grow every game. Claxton is a guy worth paying for, and we're seeing. The next five games are sold out. They got a chance for immediate redemption against Florida. Now, I'll just say this, and I may be oversimplifying, but this is just my take after covering those Bruce Pearl and Tom Izzo and Rick Barnes teams. What separated the NBA was the players were bought in, not just bought into the coach, not just bought into practice, but they literally, and I mean this, they literally had to force Chris Lofton to leave the gym after practice. They literally had to turn the lights out. And when they turned the lights out, he went to the on-campus recreation facility and took more shots. And that's what's got to happen at Georgia. They got to have some guys that want to put the time in the gym and get the reward on the Wednesdays and the Fridays. Because right now the fans are showing them that the reward is waiting. The sellout crowd is there, the smoke in the tunnel, the prize is shot into the audience, the ESPN games, that's waiting for Georgia when some of those players, not all, because there's some players that are really putting it on the line, and it ain't hard to figure it out, but there's some other guys that I don't think are putting the time in the gym. And it's easier said than done. Everybody says they're the hardest worker, BA, but we know that's not the truth. The results tell you who the hardest worker is. And right now, Georgia is shooting the ball horribly from the three-point line, and the guards are underperforming.
Well, there's
it is
no,
what it is.
There's no
when
doubt.
When that changes, Georgia will have a chance to compete in the SEC.
There's no doubt, Mike, you are a hard worker. We appreciate you covering it on all ends for Dog Nation. Thanks for being at Stegman Coliseum last night. Appreciate your time on the program today, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
Have a good one, B.A.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff there from Mike Griffith, and I love his take on the Georgia coaching search. I'm going to talk a lot more about that. And this is one of those issues where, I felt like, and like I said, being at Marlowe's last night, and a lot of times it's these face-to-face conversations that can leave a big impact on you. Being around those really left me with the feeling that, boy, Georgia fans are ready for a resolution on some of this kind of stuff. So I felt like it was my job today take some of the things that I've been hearing to a guy like Mike, whose reporting on this has been top notch. You know, he's given you the inside, story on what happened with Corey Raymond. You know, he's refuted some rumors. He's been out there on the Derek Ansley stuff. This is a guy that's been, in on the inside on this kind of stuff. And so I wanted to kind of take to him what many of you have been saying to me, and we'll see where all this lands. I got some more thoughts I want to give on that in a moment. Let me remind you that the Kroger's got a big event coming up here in the month of January. You can come out and join your local Kroger chef for a guided kids cooking experience, including an apron and patch, a chef's hat, a recipe card box, and a cheese grater. It's all just $7. This upcoming Saturday, Kroger Chef Jr. is going to be featuring spinach dip. Now, this is a perfect thing for this time of year because a lot of y'all watching football games on the weekend, having those big parties, let your kids do some of the cooking with the spinach dip from Kroger Chef Jr. I think that's a great idea. You can also get a special treat this month as well. Participants are going to receive a buy one, get one for Atlanta Gladiators hockey tickets. That's a great add-on for something that's already terrific with Kroger Chef Jr. So check that out at KrogerChefJr.com. The website, once again, you can see it on the screen if you're watching on video. KrogerChefJr.com to find out more and to reserve your spot today. What a cool thing to do there. Before I do the SEC through, there's something that Mike says that I think is really important. And I think for the most part it does kind of coincide with my feelings, although I will admit that that maybe for this particular case for Georgia, a different tack might be needed. Mike talked about the idea of Kirby Smart spotting coaches and then developing those coaches much the same way that players are developed. I think for the long haul, over the long haul, that's one of the most important things that a program can do. Kirby, I believe, has done that with Trey Scott, who I believe has turned out to be a pretty good defensive line coach. Kirby identified Glenn Schumann before Schumann was a coach at all. He was just an analyst at Alabama, but Kirby seemed to identify them there. Dan Lanning, most of us didn't know a ton about before he got here. You realize that he's also a rising star. Kirby Smart's been really good at that, and over the course of a 15, 20-year career, developing, finding those diamonds in the rough is a really important thing. So Kirby needs to continue to be good with that. But with this particular hire, in this particular situation for Georgia, this is more of a win-now approach. I think that, the best situation for Georgia would have been able to pluck a guy like Raymond. Maybe that still happens. Maybe that door's not closed. The honest truth is, I think it's difficult to decipher on that. Or maybe it eventually ends up being a guy like Derek Ansley. But given the nature of what Georgia has been the last 2 years, very close to winning a national championship, but coming up just short, the issue of how do you get over that hump and doing everything you can to win now while the opportunity exists with a very talented roster in 2019 and 2020, maybe just missing a couple key elements, but very talented overall, putting the coaching staff in place, not to be ready to do this 5 years from now, but to be able to do this right now, I think it's a really critical thing for Georgia, and we will continue to follow how that takes shape here. Let's do our SEC through for a moment, and let's talk about a couple stories around the SEC. Can't help but notice former Alabama assistant Josh Gattis, who's now going to be the offensive coordinator at Michigan. So he goes and does an interview and, is actually more candid than we're used to seeing coaches be, especially assistant coaches, about, I think he's described getting chewed out by Saban for the decision to leave Alabama to go to Michigan. And then Gattis backtracks on some of that and says, listen, I was kind of taken out of context. I got great respect for Saban, blah, 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 blah. I think the truth, more often than not, is the first story more so than the revised second story. Once you revise remarks, I don't think you're generally revising those remarks to make sure you're more truthful. I think you're revising your remarks to make sure it reflects the PR message that you probably want to send better off here. But this is not Gattis being in the wrong for telling what happened, I believe. This is Saban being in the wrong for coming down hard on a guy who has a chance to leave and go get promoted. Frankly, this is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't want to work for Nick Saban. And, Mike alluded to this before, and I think he's right, Mike Griffith, when he was with us, that, there are guys that I think would prefer working for a coach like Kirby Smart, certainly a coach like Dabo Swinney, who seem to enjoy life a little more. Saban sometimes doesn't. If you're chewing out Gattis because he has a chance to be offensive coordinator at Michigan, you're just a bad guy. I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's not being happy for a guy who has a chance to move up and grow in his career. And I think Saban comes across not looking so great in that. We have news, not of the SEC variety, but I guess in a roundabout way, it's probably interesting to Georgia fans. Tate Martell, the quarterback that at one point in time was at Ohio State, talked a little trash to Justin Fields when Fields was first considering going to Ohio State. Then Martell bolted and ran. You can form your own opinion on what that means about Martell. He has now landed at Miami. And I guess the takeaway for me on this is Martell is a pretty good prospect at quarterback, and I do think that Dan Enos is a really good offensive coordinator. And Miami plays in the ACC Coastal, which is probably inferior to Region 1 in 7A in Georgia in terms of overall talent. I think that Miami could be a pretty interesting team next year. I have zero doubt that Martell is going to be granted immediate eligibility. I think all these guys will be. And Miami could actually be a pretty interesting team in that regard. Speaking of Miami, that was also one of the potential landing spots for Jalen Hurts. But as it stands right now, with Martell there, Hurts is likely to go somewhere else. I saw one of the betting markets, Saturday Down South had a link to this, the betting markets now favor Hurts to go to Maryland. The connection is obvious there because that's where Mike Locksley is. A lot of times these betting markets can be not always reflective of actually what's going to happen in real life. But as it stands right now, Hurts is favored to go to Maryland and work with Mike Locksley, so we'll see how that plays out. I guess there's a part of me that still wouldn't mind him going to Auburn, even though Georgia plays Auburn for a full game. And I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts. He had some moments in the SEC championship game. I just kind of like the drama of seeing Hurts playing against Alabama after a lot of Alabama fans have certainly fallen all over themselves to praise Jalen Hurts. I think it'd be very interesting to see how that tune might change if all of a sudden Hurts was playing for an Alabama rivalry, but I may not get my wish on that. I was going to talk about some of these teams in the SEC that have been hit the most by early draft stuff. Can I save that for tomorrow? I'm kind of running out of time here, and there's something else I want to talk about instead. So there's an actual interesting kind of angle here in terms of, you've seen Georgia lose four guys to the draft, but in terms of the rest of the SEC, Georgia may actually be in better shape than you might think. I'm going to do more of that on tomorrow's show or sometime later in the week. Let me push that aside and make this your SEC through, because there's actually something else I want to talk about, and I guess I probably shouldn't let stuff like this get me fired up, but I have to admit I am already really on edge about Georgia's game next September, this upcoming September, against Notre Dame. I just feel like that for Georgia fans, there's going to be a lot of emotion involved in this game. And frankly, you may have everybody else in college football also rooting for Georgia in this game, and let me tell you why. First of all, I noticed the other day that Andrea Adelson from ESPN did a list of like the top non-conference games for the upcoming season. And I guess the Georgia game, and I know Connor Riley wrote about this, Georgia come in number one on the list, right? So Georgia-Notre Dame in September is the top non-conference game in all of college football. So poor Heather Dinich, I don't know what she's going to complain about next year, but she's not going to have Georgia's non-conference schedule to kick around anymore because Georgia-Notre Dame is looking like a pretty good game. And Andrea Adelson kind of went in on why it's such a big deal, and I thought her words were both very candid and very interesting. She writes, "Let's be real here. The trash talk coming from Georgia players via Twitter as they watch Notre Dame get trucked by Clemson in the College Football Playoff semifinal makes this Week 4 matchup between the Irish and the Bulldogs must-see TV." And Andrea's right about that. No matter which team you cheer for, Georgia talked a lot, and now it's got a responsibility to back that up. Adelson goes on to say, considering both teams should be in the top five and playoff contenders again at that point. So that should be a very interesting game from that standpoint in terms of the fact that Georgia players watched Notre Dame on TV and said that team's not very good, and now Georgia does have an obligation to back that up. We're not going to deny that here. But the real reason why I'm fired up about Georgia-Notre Dame in September is because of something else that someone has said recently. Now, this doesn't have really anything to do with Georgia, I guess, but boy, this is really, really bothering me. Cole Kubelik, who's a guy that's been on our show before, that's a good voice around the SEC, terrific analyst, he tweeted something out the other day, and I'm going to take Cole at his word on this. Do we have the Cole Kubelik tweet? Can we show this here? Cole tweets out, "I spoke to a staff member at Clemson. The Tigers prep," listen to this, "the Tigers prep for Alabama all bowl season and spent just 1 week on Notre Dame. They had the confidence to spend much less time on Notre Dame and devoted most of December to Alabama." I don't know why he said the same thing essentially twice, but nonetheless, Alabama was facing a team in Clemson that had been working on it for an entire month. They only had to spend an entire, just, 1 week working on Notre Dame. I got to tell you, I find that to be kind of reprehensible in that it almost sets up a disadvantage in the national championship game. One team was playing a team so undeserving of being in the playoff, they didn't even have to prep and prepare for them. All they had to do was spend time worrying about Alabama. To me, that almost feels like an unfair advantage on the basis of the fact that Notre Dame wasn't truly playoff worthy. Whether you feel like Georgia should have been there or not, Clemson, and I'm going to take Cole Kublik at his word here, because why would the person after the fact lie about this now to make Notre Dame seem even worse than they were? Clemson just wasn't that worried about Notre Dame. The point that I'm getting to, and I'm probably more worked up on this than I should be, is not only is it an imperative for Georgia's sake that it beats Notre Dame, it's really doing the entire country a favor if that fake, fraud, pretender bunch of Fighting Irish are left out of the playoff. By the way, it's 809 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. It's our Gator Hater Updater right here on Dog Nation Daily, and we'll see you tomorrow.